Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One.
Excuse me, could you tell me what this sign means?
It says you can explore the museum using a specialized app on your phone. We've just introduced a digital platform which enables visitors to discover more about the exhibits. And it's really helpful as it gives you more independence during your visit.
What do you mean?
Well, normally you just look at one exhibit after another. But with the app, you can go straight to the exhibits which best suit your preferences. You can also save exhibits you really like, which allows you to easily return to them during your next visit. You won't regret downloading the app, and it's free.
It sounds great.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Excuse me, could you tell me what this sign means?
It says you can explore the museum using a specialized app on your phone. We've just introduced a digital platform which enables visitors to discover more about the exhibits. And it's really helpful as it gives you more independence during your visit.
What do you mean?
Well, normally you just look at one exhibit after another. But with the app, you can go straight to the exhibits which best suit your preferences. You can also save exhibits you really like, which allows you to easily return to them during your next visit. You won't regret downloading the app. And it's free.
It sounds great.
Two. Rotary Woods, a community woodland in North Yorkshire, is at risk due to plans to expand the local bottled water factory. The local council have approved the expansion plan, but ecologists are criticising it, as they feel officials have ignored the environmental impact. The factory's spokesperson claims that the expansion plan will not result in any harm to the environment. The factory's commitment to replacing the lost trees on a two-for-one basis will compensate for the reduction in the forest size. In addition, public access to the woods will be improved, thanks to new footpaths. However, ecologists believe that the measures proposed by the factory are not enough to ensure the peaceful future of Rotary Woods. They also argue the factory's planned expansion is not in line with the council's aim to cut the town's carbon dioxide emissions by 40%.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Rotary Woods, a community woodland in North Yorkshire, is at risk due to plans to expand the local bottled water factory. The local council have approved the expansion plan, but ecologists are criticising it, as they feel officials have ignored the environmental impact. The factory's spokesperson claims that the expansion plan will not result in any harm to the environment. The factory's commitment to replacing the lost trees on a two-for-one basis will compensate for the reduction in the forest size. In addition, public access to the woods will be improved, thanks to new footpaths. However, ecologists believe that the measures proposed by the factory are not enough to ensure the peaceful future of Rotary Woods. They also argue the factory's planned expansion is not in line with the council's aim to cut the town's carbon dioxide emissions by 40%. 3.
A resident of an island between Finland and Sweden recently came across a large number of egg-shaped balls of ice while he was walking on the beach. An area of about 30 meters along the coastline was covered with thousands of these ice balls. The smallest were the size of eggs and the biggest the size of footballs. According to experts, such ice balls are formed when pieces of ice break off an ice sheet and are rolled into balls by the movement of the waves. When the seawater freezes onto their surfaces, they grow bigger. As in this case, they are sometimes washed up onto a beach. Although it's quite rare for such a large group of them to be found together, similar sights have been reported in some coastal areas of Siberia and the northern United States.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
A resident of an island between Finland and Sweden recently came across a large number of egg-shaped balls of ice while he was walking on the beach. An area of about 30 meters along the coastline was covered with thousands of these ice balls. The smallest were the size of eggs and the biggest the size of footballs. According to experts, such ice balls are formed when pieces of ice break off an ice sheet and are rolled into balls by the movement of the waves. When the seawater freezes onto their surfaces, they grow bigger. As in this case, they are sometimes washed up onto a beach. Although it's quite rare for such a large group of them to be found together, similar sights have been reported in some coastal areas of Siberia and the northern United States.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One.
Samuel Johnson, the 18th century author of the first Dictionary of English, is said to have had a particular fondness for his cat, named Hodge. And so a museum dedicated to the famous man's life and his achievements would not be complete without a reference to his beloved pet. That's why in 1997, a statue showing a bronze figure of Johnson's black cat was installed in front of Johnson's house, which is now a museum. Hodge is shown sitting on top of a thick book, which is, of course, Johnson's dictionary.
Two. As mayor of Newham, I want to ensure the residents of Upton Park that the statue, known as the Champions, which depicts the four footballers who played a huge role in winning the World Cup in 1966 for England, is to remain at its current location. We have cancelled our decision to move it to Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park. We respect the efforts made by local people to keep the statue. We acknowledge the role of this historic landmark in shaping the identity of football fans across the country and realise that it has become an integral part of this neighbourhood. Therefore, I declare that Upton Park will remain the rightful home of the Champions. Three.
A statue of Agatha Christie is being planned for the small town of Wallingford, which has a museum dedicated to the famous crime writer. For many years, Agatha Christie lived in a village not far from the town, and the area is popular with her fans. The mayor of Wallingford has confirmed that the town council has applied for funding for the statue. It will represent the writer seated on a bench. The Agatha Christie Festival is held in the town every year. It is attended by many readers of her novels, who will certainly appreciate the statue.
Four. Liverpool can boast a magnificent attraction, a statue of the Beatles walking down a street towards the river. The legendary band played their first gigs at the nearby Cavern Club. Indeed, the club generously sponsored the creation of the bronze sculpture. After unveiling the statue, the Deputy Mayor of Liverpool said that the four world-famous musicians are so inseparably linked to the city that they certainly deserve a permanent place on the iconic waterfront. It is hoped that the monument will attract even more tourists and music enthusiasts to the city. Five.
A statue of a bear named Wojtek, who helped Polish troops during World War II, can be seen in Princes Street Gardens in Edinburgh. When he was a little cub, Wojtek lost his mother, but was rescued and adopted by Polish soldiers. He was trained to carry ammunition on the battlefield. He was also a tremendous morale booster. Wojtek's role was so vital that he was given a name, rank and serial number, just like any other soldier. After the war, he lived in Edinburgh Zoo. The monument was created thanks to the generosity of many supporters. Some of them, just like Wojtek the bear, had found a home in Scotland after the war.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
1.
Samuel Johnson, the 18th century author of the first Dictionary of English, is said to have had a particular fondness for his cat named Hodge. And so a museum dedicated to the famous man's life and his achievements would not be complete without a reference to his beloved pet. That's why in 1997, a statue showing a bronze figure of Johnson's black cat was installed in front of Johnson's house, which is now a museum. Hodge is shown sitting on top of a thick book, which is, of course, Johnson's dictionary.
Two. As Mayor of Newham, I want to ensure the residents of Upton Park that the statue, known as the Champions, which depicts the four footballers who played a huge role in winning the World Cup in 1966 for England, is to remain at its current location. We have cancelled our decision to move it to Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park. We respect the efforts made by local people to keep the statue. We acknowledge the role of this historic landmark in shaping the identity of football fans across the country and realise that it has become an integral part of this neighbourhood. Therefore, I declare that Upton Park will remain the rightful home of the Champions. Three.
A statue of Agatha Christie is being planned for the small town of Wallingford, which has a museum dedicated to the famous crime writer. For many years, Agatha Christie lived in a village not far from the town, and the area is popular with her fans. The mayor of Wallingford has confirmed that the town council has applied for funding for the statue. It will represent the writer seated on a bench. The Agatha Christie Festival is held in the town every year. It is attended by many readers of her novels, who will certainly appreciate the statue.
Four. Liverpool can boast a magnificent attraction, a statue of the Beatles walking down a street towards the river. The legendary band played their first gigs at the nearby Cavern Club. Indeed, the club generously sponsored the creation of the bronze sculpture. After unveiling the statue, the Deputy Mayor of Liverpool said that the four world-famous musicians are so inseparably linked to the city that they certainly deserve a permanent place on the iconic waterfront. It is hoped that the monument will attract even more tourists and music enthusiasts to the city. Five.
A statue of a bear named Wojtek, who helped Polish troops during World War II, can be seen in Princes Street Gardens in Edinburgh. When he was a little cub, Wojtek lost his mother, but was rescued and adopted by Polish soldiers. He was trained to carry ammunition on the battlefield. He was also a tremendous morale booster. Wojtek's role was so vital that he was given a name, rank, and serial number, just like any other soldier. After the war, he lived in Edinburgh Zoo. The monument was created thanks to the generosity of many supporters. Some of them, just like Wojtek the Bear, had found a home in Scotland after the war.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
John, today you're a well-known ocean explorer. Could you tell our listeners how this passion began?
I like to think of myself as someone who grew up in water. I was only 7 when my dad put an oxygen tank on my back for the first time. Then he put another tank on my brother and on my mother too, and pushed the 3 of us overboard. And so we became scuba divers. He jumped in straight afterwards. And I remember that I wanted to talk to him. But when I removed my mouthpiece underwater, my dad put it straight back in. At that time, my father was one of the pioneers of scuba diving, and the diving gear we used was all his creation.
Did you travel on research trips with your parents?
We spent a lot of time on board the Calypso, our family boat. My brother and I would fly over from boarding school in France to wherever the Calypso was during the Christmas, New Year, and summer holidays. Every time it was somewhere different. It was an unusual childhood, but it seemed normal to me, because that was all I knew. I learned so much about the ocean, and the crew members became closer than brothers to me. When I grew up, the Alcyone, our expedition ship, became my new home, and I worked on many films about the ocean from there.
Was your mother passionate about the sea too?
She was the real strength behind the entire operation. She was the daughter of an admiral, and many generations of her family were naval officers. Throughout her youth, she was unhappy because joining the French Navy was out of the question for a woman at that time. She fell in love with my father, who was a naval officer, and when they got married, they decided to live on board the Calypso. She spent even more time there than my father. She was in charge of first aid when anyone got hurt, and she was always cheerful and ready to comfort us. Whenever an argument broke out, she always managed to negotiate a compromise without upsetting anyone. She was a really skillful diplomat.
And the last question. How are the rest of your family continuing your father's great legacy?
My dad used to say that people protect what they love. I have a wonderful team and we're carrying on his message. But the clock is ticking. As a species, we must do everything we can to protect marine life. We must manage the oceans like a business. They are our most precious asset, and we are heading towards bankruptcy. We are the only species that has the privilege to decide whether or not to disappear. and we need to take action before it's too late.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
John, today you're a well-known ocean explorer. Could you tell our listeners how this passion began?
I like to think of myself as someone who grew up in water. I was only 7 when my dad put an oxygen tank on my back for the first time. Then he put another tank on my brother and on my mother too, and pushed the 3 of us overboard. And so we became scuba divers. He jumped in straight afterwards. And I remember that I wanted to talk to him, but when I removed my mouthpiece underwater, my dad put it straight back in. At that time, my father was one of the pioneers of scuba diving, and the diving gear we used was all his creation.
Did you travel on research trips with your parents?
We spent a lot of time on board the Calypso, our family boat. My brother and I would fly over from boarding school in France to wherever the Calypso was during the Christmas, New Year, and summer holidays. Every time it was somewhere different. It was an unusual childhood, but it seemed normal to me, because that was all I knew. I learned so much about the ocean, and the crew members became closer than brothers to me. When I grew up, the Alcyone, our expedition ship, became my new home, and I worked on many films about the ocean from there.
Was your mother passionate about the sea too?
She was the real strength behind the entire operation. She was the daughter of an admiral, and many generations of her family were naval officers. Throughout her youth, she was unhappy because joining the French Navy was out of the question for a woman at that time. She fell in love with my father, who was a naval officer, and when they got married, they decided to live on board the Calypso. She spent even more time there than my father. She was in charge of first aid when anyone got hurt, and she was always cheerful and ready to comfort us. Whenever an argument broke out, she always managed to negotiate a compromise without upsetting anyone. She was a really skillful diplomat.
And the last question. How are the rest of your family continuing your father's great legacy?
My dad used to say that people protect what they love. I have a wonderful team and we're carrying on his message. But the clock is ticking. As a species, we must do everything we can to protect marine life. We must manage the oceans like a business. They are our most precious asset, and we are heading towards bankruptcy. We are the only species that has the privilege to decide whether or not to disappear, and we need to take action before it's too late.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.